Not ready? Too bad. Head back, face forward, and hold on like you mean it.
Welcome to Review Time's Theme Podcast. This is a show where we discuss the ins and outs of attractions and parks from around the world. My name is Dom, and I will be your host through this exploration of fixing theme parks. But before we get into it, I need to introduce the man who hired Bob the Builder for his latest theme park ride, but had to unfortunately let him go for bossing around inanimate objects and generally being too animated for the workplace. It's Review Time co-host Luke Carroll. I almost called you Mick Doohan because as a joke, I put Mick Doohan in there.
Yeah, I saw that. I did hire Bob. Unfortunately, he couldn't fix it, so I had to let him go.
Yeah, look, we'll get around to solving that HR problem eventually.
Eventually.
For our staple theme park, Time Park, which knows about, but it's pretty good.
We got bigger problems to fix today. We got huge problems, bigger than Bob the Builder, that's for sure.
Hmm. Yeah, like getting it up off the ground.
What?
The theme park.
Oh, our theme park. I'm talking about this episode. This whole episode is about fixing problems.
No, I thought it was meant to be a segue. Okay,
but
sorry.
It was like the segue, not the connection between topics, but the little two-wheeled thing that was meant to be the future. That segue failed as hard as the two-wheeled segues did.
Do you know the person who invented the Segway? I'm fairly certain they died by showing a bunch of investors how safe the Segway was. So they were like, look at how quickly it'll stop. And they got on it, went towards a cliff, and then they're like, it's going to stop. And it didn't stop. And that fell off the cliff. There's probably a Tropes article about it because I've heard it before. It could be fake, but that's what I've heard.
Snopes article, but yeah.
As you said, This week, we're fixing theme parks.
Oh, we're
Luke
fixing
and Dom,
baby.
We have so much experience in theme parks. We, you know, who needs Bob Iger? Who needs Bob Chapek? When we've been
amateurs
doing theme park reviews for 2 years.
That's all we need? That's all we...
That's like you walk into Disney, you walk into Imagineering, it's like, I review theme parks. And they're like, oh, sir, here's a new theme park. Go nuts.
Here's the keys to the kingdom.
So before we get into things, though, I just wanted to give a quick shout out to our newest patrons, Julian Wren, Tiffany Balbuza, and Luke Fazio, as well as longtime patrons, Jake Cool, Jay McRoberts, and Peter Matthews. If you go and check out patreon.com/reviewtime, we will soon be hosting a lot more exclusive content and behind-the-scenes stuff, as well as you can find updates about our upcoming US review trip, which I don't think we've really talked much about because we've tried to keep it under the wrap. We did, yes.
Look, apart from that 1 hour episode of the podcast. But, that's not got too many views, I guess. Maybe.
What was it? There was one I came to you and you're like, oh, man, what topic should we do for the podcast? And I came to you, I'm like, we should do this. You're like, Dom, we did that like last week. And I was like, oh.
Oh, yeah. So yeah, it was a good idea then. It's still a good idea now. But if you do want to hear about our USA mega trip, we'll give you a lot more information upcoming on the Patreon than even we do in that hour 10-minute podcast. So make sure we got plenty of exciting stuff coming up, plenty of new perks that we'll launch the 1st of July. And we're not going to give you too much info, but if you subscribe before or subscribe in the first month, you might get a special little something extra.
Ah, a cheeky little treat. A treat from Review Time.
Oh, lucky you.
So this idea was submitted to us by Michael. Michael sent us an email, and they can be found at michael_learns_art on Instagram. I did actually check out their stuff, and their stuff is really cool. So if we ever get around to updating our Review Time avatars, which we might, because I've got hair now. I used to be bald when they were done originally, and now I've got hair. So I'll definitely hit Michael up, because their art style, mwah, it's like that nice sort of, it's really soft, that soft cartoon style.
I think we've also done an episode before that was sent to us by Michael. I believe our Disney World water parks episode where we looked at both the water parks at Disney World. So thank you. If you want to send in any episodes, not only will you help us out, Number one, you'll also make our lives easier because we often hit this point of the week. We record usually on a Friday afternoon. Mm. So, you know, brain's been a bit dead from work through the week. So any ideas we'd greatly appreciate because it makes our life easier and it gives us more exciting, broader topics than we would come up with ourselves.
We basically do it as the absolute last minute thing that we do. So not, well, actually, yes, it's both last minute in the sense that it's the last thing that we do and last minute in the sense that we're like, oh, what do we do this episode? But Michael sent us in this idea with a nice little email. It says, "Hi, Luke." I'm offended. I thought of a topic I think would be fun to hear you and Dom banter about. Here it is. Luke and Dom fix theme parks. The idea being you guys pick an attraction or land that you think Disney or Universal got wrong and then talk about how you could change it to make it better. I'm interested to hear what you guys would come up with. Also, please do an episode about Journey to the Center of the Earth at Disney Sea. I've seen POVs of that ride, but there's so much more I want to know about it. Hope you like the ideas. I learned a lot from your latest Dollywood video. Thanks. Thank you very much, Michael. I really like this idea, and we've got the perfect starting spot.
Oh,
because
I think if people probably just think a Disney or Universal thing that needs fixing, I think there's two things that come to mind immediately. Mm. One, we might do in a future episode if people enjoy, and that is Fast and Furious Supercharged. But we can't do that yet because you haven't got the chance to write it. And who knows? You might think it's the best thing ever.
I already think it's the best thing ever. I don't have to go to know.
But who knows? You may think it's the best thing ever. But take 5 seconds now. Think about what we could be thinking about for this episode. Mm. Have a think in your mind what it's going to be, because I'm sure when we say it, you're going to say, yes, please fix it. It needs it.
And it's something that exists today. So we're fixing something that's not like, this isn't from history. And also we should preface this by saying that this is blue sky. This is if somebody came to us and just said, you have unlimited money, fix it. And I think we're sort of going to talk about the root problems, the things that kind of undermine everything, and then go into some of the little and nitty gritty stuff. But now that you've had time to think about it, I think we can all agree that the best starting spot for a series like this would be Tomorrowland at the Disneyland Resort.
Oh, yes. Unfortunately, Tomorrowland has not been treated well in the last 55 years since 1959.
Since Walt opened it and was pretty much like,
no,
hey,
no, 59. Know, remember like the big Tomorrowland at 1959 where they added like the subvoyage and the monorail and all of that? And that's pretty much the last major addition that I would say was a good choice for Tomorrowland.
Yeah, it was one of these interesting ideas that Walt had that he couldn't even figure out. Because when it opened in 1955, they went around, did the entire park, and then they got to Tomorrowland. They're like, crap, we have no money left. And that seems to be how it always comes with this land, is that they get around to doing projects and they're like, okay, cool. We have no money left. And look, Disney can't use that excuse anymore. They have plenty of money. You can't be like, we can't fix those problems because we don't have enough money. Excuse me, you're the company that bought Fox for like $40 billion. You've got money.
We bought Star Wars, no new Tomorrowland for another 20 years. Sorry.
Pretty much. That's where it stands. So I guess we should sort of look at it from a really broad perspective at the moment. What do you think are some of the biggest problems that are currently facing this land? Like just looking at it from a board, if you're a general guest and you go into this land, what would you be thinking?
Yeah, I think the issue is we've got over the years, we've had a number of big redos of Tomorrowland. We've had the one in 1959 I was just talking about. That's when they brought in the monorail, the submarine voyage, the Matterhorn bobsleds. That was a huge overhaul because when Tomorrowland first opened, it was essentially, look at chemicals, look at aluminium. That's tomorrow. That's the future. And then,
Monsanto's
2 years later,
Tomorrowland.
Yeah, that was when they were in 57, I think. And they were like, hey, tomorrow, a big plastic house that looks like a cross. That's the future. And then So 59 brings in, you know, the monorail, the subvoyage, the Matterhorn. It kind of adds some more attractions, even though they may, like, yeah, people used to think the monorails were the future. The submarines were, you know, I think they were looking at like nuclear submarines at that point. That's how they were more futuristic. Matterhorn bobsleds, not futuristic at all. That's why it ends up eventually as a official Fantasyland attraction instead of a Tomorrowland attraction.
It was all about transport, wasn't it? Like what was super into transport? And I think that's why he was so fascinated in this land is because he was like, we can have all of these really interesting ways to get around. He loved trains. He loved monorails. He loved everything that moved.
One of his last big additions to the park was Tomorrowland on the Move. In 1967, which gives us, you know, the People Mover, adding a lot of kinetics to the land. It gives us Carousel of Progress, I believe. Adventure Through Inner Space, I think, is around this time. And then all of that, you know, just made the land's kinetics so spectacular at that point. You had the monorail going through the land. You had the People Mover going through the land. You had the rocket jets on top of the People Mover track spinning around inside the land. You had Autopia. You had the submarine voyage. Movement, movement everywhere you look. Where today, everywhere you look is where movement used to be and is now just nothing. Like, the People Mover track is clearly still there, clearly meant to be something, but it's just sitting there rotting away in plain sight. The top of the People Mover, where the Astro Orbiter rocket jets used to be, is now some weird art sculpture that looks like it's meant to move, but it doesn't move. Like, it just, this land.
The interesting thing is what they wanted to go for was basically a city. You are going into a futuristic city and you are looking at all of their transport options. You have been transported into a world that is different to your own. And that movement helps sell the idea. And exactly as you said, once we hit that point where everything started getting stripped back and they started removing things and permanently breaking them by putting in a weird thrill attraction that didn't really work into the space of something that was originally a slow-moving people mover, you start to hit problems. And when you go into this environment, now it doesn't feel like a city. It feels like a bunch of sterile warehouses. It's really hard to describe, but it does not feel like the future.
That's where I think we can pinpoint the issue, Tomorrowland issue, in the big issues that we still feel today are due to the new Tomorrowland in 1998. That's what is being lovingly dubbed Brown Tomorrowland, where essentially they wanted to make Tomorrowland feel more like Discoveryland at Disneyland Paris, but did it with what the budget equates to giving Tony Baxter a bucket of paint and then going, figure it out. Because that's where we get those weird French fry rocks at the entrance. We get the new entrance to the land as the Astro Orbiter instead of having it further deeper into the land, adding as this weird weenie that you have to walk around to get into the land. As you're saying, Rocket Rods replaces the People Mover, which in turn breaks the People Mover track. It's that now is unusable. And it paints Space Mountain poo-poo brown as the only way that could be described. The only good thing I would say in this was they added Honey, I Shrunk the Audience, which I think is actually a good show.
Yeah. This was a sign of Disney at the time, though, because remember, this was basically the prequel for what would eventually become Disney's California Adventure, where it was ambitious ideas with not an ambitious budget.
Not the
and
budget
so you have
to do
Disney
it, yeah.
coming in, and it was during a time where they just basically told people, and I feel like we're edging on this a little bit today, they essentially went, we're giving you what you want. And when people say, well, what is it that we want? They would just point to that and say, this is what you want. Shut up. Don't question it.
Yeah.
And that really started to rub people the wrong way. Like Disney's California Adventure Park, it took them so long to turn around that theme park because the stigma attached to that
park. 10 years this like today or yesterday or something, it's been 10 years since the rededication of Disney California Adventure, which is wild. But that means that that park existed in a poor state for longer than it's existed in a decent state today. Like, it took them so long to fix the issues, and these were big issues at the time. Like, the Disney California Adventure 2001 issues were big. But I would say Tomorrowland, Disneyland today is getting to that stage. It might only be one land compared to a whole park, but it as a land is, you know, if this was the entire park, it would be the equivalent of DCA 1.0. That's how poor, in my opinion, this land is as a whole. Had some great attractions. Space Mountain, arguably the best version of Space Mountain. I was going to say Hong Kong might be better, but that doesn't exist. They only have Hyper Space Mountain now for the last 30 years. But other than Space Mountain, they've also got Star Tours, The Adventure Continues, which I like Star Tours. It kind of, it fits in this land, I guess, but it's weird to have it in the same park that they have Galaxy's Edge across the way. But both parks that have Galaxy's Edge also have Star Tours, so lucky them, I guess.
Yeah, it's kind of odd.
Yeah, they've got Astro Blasters, which is poor. I don't like Astro Blasters. I know kids do, but which some people be like, oh, but it's for kids, it's for kids. But it's hard to convince me that kids wouldn't prefer a better version of, even if it was the same idea, just the cutout, the plywood cutout style, the painted black art just dates it, in my opinion. And then other than the Subvoyage and Autopia, that's it for attractions.
It's very strange because when you think about it, like so many people love Tomorrowland. And I think it's basically got to do with Space Mountain, because Space Mountain is, for a lot of people, their first introduction to a roller coaster, but it's also so different.
Yeah.
And the thing that I find about this land, to give it kudos, is that whenever you go to Disneyland, Tomorrowland is always packed. And there are other parts of the park that are always packed, you know, like Adventureland and stuff like that. But Adventureland is a walkway. It goes from one part of the park to another. When you start to look into it, Tomorrowland is not a walkway. Tomorrowland is its own little hub. It doesn't go anywhere. And so you've got all of these people gathering into this space in this confined area that are sort of all looking around going, what do we do?
Yeah.
Like, but what is Where there do we to go? Do there?
Especially and when you walk in, you see overhead. Okay, People Mover. Is that a ride? Oh, no, it's not. Okay, let's keep going straight ahead. Oh, the Intervention / Star Wars Launch Bay building. Cool, that must be an attraction. Oh, nope, that's closed as well. It's like your main thoroughfare is essentially a walkway of standing but not operating attractions at this point.
It's a very interesting spot. I think the first thing that you'd have to do, if you really wanted to turn around this space, is definitely make it thematically consistent. One of the things that Disney is all about is show. They like to have their theme park very similar to, say, a movie. You have your introduction. That's Main Street. It introduces you to the concept of the park, and then you have your different scenes and your different areas. Everything was based off filmmaking because that's what Disney knew.
Yeah.
And when you look at Tomorrowland, as you were saying, you've got the Astro Orbiter. They've recently taken away the big French fry blocks, but there's still elements of that
and
bronze
nothing's
Tomorrowland.
There now, though. It's they just announced grass. 2 years ago a new entrance to Tomorrowland, and it's currently just grass. Like, okay, that took 2 years. Like, yeah.
The problem is you've got this introduction, which
start,
is this.
Yeah, yeah. Sets out. In a
and
bad,
you walk
yeah.
through and you see this element, this very retro-futuristic element, and then behind it is all stark white and silver. And so you're left wondering, like, okay, that's strange. Just like if you see, you know, in terms of branding or anything like that, when you see something that's clearly off-brand for a company, it just feels odd. It doesn't feel right. Yeah. And that's what's happened here. And then, as you were saying, all of the lack of movement, the lack of activity in something that's meant to be the future, at one point, like there's an amalgamation of ideas because they wanted to have it where it's like, oh, the future is all about green energy and all of that. And then they just completely dumped that concept. It's basically not even there anymore. And though, so
they've got that, like, isn't that something where it's the Tomorrowland here, agri-future, and like all the plants are edible or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's so many ideas that have been introduced and then reduced to almost nothing, where it feels like they've tried to, you know, over time fix it, bits and pieces, but fix it one step at a time. And I think, as we were saying, the big issue for me in this land is kinetics. You've got one attraction that exists outdoors, and that's Finding Nemo's Submarine Voyage. I like the lagoon. The lagoon is really nice. It adds that, you know, a water feature and stuff like that. But that with then Autopia going over the top of it is a big old expansion plot in my mind.
There's a lot of expansion plots that you can use.
That the ride, the Submarine Voyage ride, exists underneath Autopia. So I think that's a big reason why they don't necessarily want to do or are too scared to do something too big, because you can't really do anything on that plot of land without removing both attractions. Both of those attractions, I would say more so Autopia than Subvoyage, are family favorite rides. You really have to add at least two other good replacement attractions to genuinely be able to get rid of Finding Nemo's Subvoyage. The only thing I've heard from Disney, there's rumors that at D23 this year, that'll be one of the only major things announced for parks and resorts, is an overhaul to Tomorrowland at Disneyland. Word keeps getting around that Tron is a part of it, and I hate that idea.
Yeah, I hate that idea as well.
Can
we just actually, should we talk about an interesting little story that probably not many people know is part of the reason why Tomorrowland is the way it is? Is because, do you all remember that little movie with a very similar name that came out a couple of years ago? I can't remember when it actually came out. It was like 5 years ago or something.
2014, maybe? 2015?
Yeah. And that was the Tomorrowland movie. The idea behind this movie, because Disney is very aware of this problem. The issue is that you've got a business that is derived around intellectual property, and Disney, if you look at anything that they've constructed in recent years, is insanely afraid of original ideas because they're worried that it just won't sell. So what they decided is they're like, we're going to get Brad Bird, who's a renowned director, somebody who we can trust with this new Tomorrowland intellectual property. We're going to get George Clooney. We're going to base it around one of the most beloved theme park lands of all time. And we're just, you know, Disney was essentially guaranteed success with this idea. They wanted it to be the next Pirates of the Caribbean. The problem was that there were so many fingers in the pie that by the time it eventually hit the screens, the ideas were just all over the place. If you look up, there are people who have done like 40-minute deep dive into the production of that film. And even watching it now, you're just like, what was the point? What was the point of that film? I cannot remember what the point was.
The point was, I used to be able to go to the exit of Test Track and get a Tomorrowland pin if you pretended you were interested in cars.
Do you remember when we just walked up to someone and were like, I'm not interested in getting a car, but I am from Australia and I'd like a pin?
That used to be the trick where it'd be like, are you guys got any Tomorrowland pins? And they're like, yeah, are you interested in a vehicle? And you'd be like, yeah, but I'm from Australia. And they'd go, okay, just take the pin, go. I think I have like 8 of those pins floating around in my drawers. One day they gave me like 3 for some reason. I think it must have been after the film came out. It wasn't doing too well. They realized they probably shouldn't have bought 100,000 of these pins or whatever they had. Yeah. And they were just like, please take them. Please. But yeah, you could like that film. Sometimes you see films get made by Disney and you just kind of think, is a secret, you know, backroom push for this film to do something in the parks, like to do a new pavilion at Epcot, you know, if there's a film
very
Yeah, heavily
based.
This
film was designed to fix the problem. And that's why they sort of sat back and they're like, this is going to be a success. And then we're going to base all of our Tomorrowlands, not around Tomorrowland, the idea, but Tomorrowland, the movie. And then you have this staple movie that you can base it around and everyone will love it. You'll have a George Clooney attraction. It'll just be him drinking Nespresso the entire time. But it flopped. And then everyone was just left sitting there
they
like,
they don't know what to do.
What do we do now? And Disney and doesn't move fast.
No.
They move slow.
Yeah. And I think for me, an underrated version of Tomorrowland is Tomorrowland at Walt Disney World around the same time when they gave Tomorrowland what I would say is a good timeless story. They gave it that idea where not just each attraction existed, but each attraction existed for a reason. So this is the one where we get things such as extraterrestrial alien encounter, but the extraterrestrial alien encounter takes place at the Tomorrowland Convention Center. And it is a showcase of technology, you know, being brought to you by a company. The Tomorrowland, the People Mover becomes a Tomorrowland Transit Authority. It is the transport method in this city. They gave it this timeless city ideal. And it kind of, you know, it was sci-fi based more than tomorrow in inverted commas, but that's what made it work. We could do another episode on the current state of Tomorrowland at Magic Kingdom for this same issue, because what ended up happening, and they did the same here with the 98 issue after that, they did something and then they did something major and giant, and then they started replacing bits and pieces one at a time and ended up with a complete hodgepodge of ideas. And I think the place that needs to start for fixing this land is a complete strip down of everything that we think of as Tomorrowland and rebuild of it from the ground up, which I think that film could have done. And even if you don't use that film, that style of ideas that we saw in the Tomorrowland at the Magic Kingdom, the most recent one with extraterrestrial timekeeper and all of those sort of things, that idea needs to come behind it. Now, I know we probably aren't going to get a new Tomorrowland that doesn't have any new attractions featuring an IP. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah. But
I think we could get a way of tying the IPs together that's a little bit better than Buzz Lightyear. Yeah, he lives across from Star Wars, and the Star Wars lives across from Finding Nemo. Like,
see,
okay.
Here's what I think. Work with your movie and film department. Work with creative individuals and Imagineering. Sit down and create a narrative for Tomorrowland, similar to like what they did with the extraterrestrial version of the Magic Kingdom, and create something that people want to get involved with, and then construct your intellectual property around that, about what works. Because as well with a theme park, you can throw 20 ideas at a wall and wait and see what sticks. And if people attach to a certain part of that land, then create a Disney Plus TV show. That's like, they don't have to worry about movies anymore. They can just go, cool, TV show, let's get it out.
I think that's the worry now, though, is because of what happened with Tomorrowland, they're only going to want to trust proven IPs is going to be the issue. And that's not to say, you know, I couldn't come up with ideas for Tomorrowland using only pre-existing IPs that I feel would be a much better fit than what currently exists. Like, number one, your entrance attraction is based on toys, not sci-fi or space or tomorrow. I know Buzz Lightyear is a sci-fi, but he's still a toy at the end of the day. And the way that you've made the attraction is like it's toys. Like, could you imagine keep something like Buzz Lightyear Astro Blasters? I haven't seen the new movie. Maybe it's terrible. This might be a bad idea. But refurb it to be a more realistic feeling scenario. And it's some form of, you know, space training activity. It's not using these big, you know, plasticky cutouts like they do on the current attraction. It's got more kind of grounded in reality sets and sci-fi alien planet type things. You could even make it like an AR, Disney's first AR attraction, have a visor that has, like, you know, scores and different bonuses and those sort of things. Like, that could be a cool way for Disney to bring in AR in a way that is in a smaller scale attraction to really test out the priorities of it. And that's like a fix, in my opinion, that wouldn't be terribly difficult or expensive. But if woven into a bigger overhaul of the land, if you go, I think, like, what do you think the big picture Tomorrowland over umbrella theme that would work best?
I think if you really wanted to keep it cheap, like, because there's ideas that you could do with unlimited money where you could go through and really embrace a sort of more ecological Tomorrowland, something that embraces renewable energies. It's tough because that
sponsored by
technology
Exxon
Mobil.
Yeah, same.
Oh, wonderful. It would move super quickly, but at the same time, it's still a message that is a good one. Like, if you just have it based around fixing the world's problems, similar to Epcot, or a celebration of how we fix the world's problems, then I think you'd be okay. But a very simple idea, if they wanted to keep what they have and then sort of work with it, is, as you were saying, you've got Buzz Lightyear, you've got Star Wars, you just need to mix up some of the other properties. But you could have this as like a pop culture convention sort of space. Like, this is a celebration of fandom, and have it as, you know, bring out the cosplayers and that, people who obviously look like characters, but they aren't characters. And then you could have that as streetmosphere. You could have stands that are selling like pop culture stuff. And I feel that atmosphere could work. It'd be cheap. It'd be something that you could do very quickly, though. The other thing as well, retheme Buzz Lightyear to be around the new movie, as you said, depending on how it goes. And Space Mountain, you could incorporate to have some sort of tie-in, but mainly just update the queue.
Yeah,
I think would only be necessary.
I think I see. I always come back to this idea that, you know, of that making it this kind of sci-fi spaceport theme, and I still think that's got legs, in my opinion. But to make it, you know, slightly more up to date, that sort of thing, keep a sci-fi spaceport, but have it as this place where you can have this realistic intersection of IPs, of brands. Because you can't say that, you know, oh, well, they wouldn't have that. They wouldn't have that because they kind of have it already. So why not? Yeah. Can't it be this spaceport where the Star Wars characters and the Lightyear characters and, you know, any other characters come to be? Even something simple like Space Mountain, if they really wanted an IP, which I don't think it needs, but you could easily go something like WALL-E or something like that, that, you know, the scene where they're floating around in space, that film is criminally underrepresented in the theme parks. Especially, it's probably the best choice for a Tomorrowland IP, not Toy Story, not Star Wars, which is set in the past, not tomorrow.
A very interesting idea, because I was thinking, I was like, what about a land that's based around the universe of WALL-E? And I'm like, oh, that'd be pretty dark. Because it's meant to be like post-human. But what if you had it where it's set after the people have come back?
Yeah.
And you've got all of these things, and it would make sense because it's in our world, but it's also way off in the future. So it's not Tomorrowland looking forward to tomorrow. It's basically tomorrow, but also looking back, looking forward. And so you could
like
have it where it's
realizing mistakes of the present and then making it so far in the future. It will directly, the Tomorrowland will never become Todayland because it'd be set 2,000 years in the future sort of thing.
Yeah. And you could have this really interesting mix where you could have like the by and large buildings, like just change the buildings to look like warehouses, have them look a little bit run down, but also covered in greenery and have them covered in renewable technology or things that are sort of helping, and have that as that message to be like, this is what happens if you don't do this. And even the people in the future know that that's the way that we have to go. And then you could easily tie that into everything. I still think a WALL-E dark ride would be phenomenal for this land.
Put the WALL-E chairs on the People Mover track.
Yes!
New People Mover. Unfortunately,
it could be an Omni Mover.
Yeah.
That
unfortunately, from what I've heard, the People Mover tracks are unusable. So in this, you know, fixing of Tomorrowland, Unfortunately, I think the people mover tracks have to go. If they can't be used for an attraction, which everything I've heard points to the fact that they can't be, I think they need to be removed. They're an eyesore in the middle of the land. The fact that they're overgrown with plants, they're cracking in some places, it just brings the feel of the land down. But by getting rid of it, it allows you to have, get rid of the Astro Orbiter as well at the start. It allows you to have a real cool weenie where the current, you know, the round part is, where yes. it used to be the load. If you had in there some cool, real, like futuristic sci-fi weenie that ties into this overarching theme, even, you know, tying our two themes together, this spaceport idea could have elements of By and Large. It could be this futuristic, you know, make it spaceport in inverted commas, but it could, the secret, if you look under the hood enough, is that it is actually Earth. Like, it looks like this big futuristic, you know, green space, all this positive futurism, but it is actually Earth. It's been fixed from all the issues.
It's post-Tomorrowland.
Yeah.
And then, Do you know what could work in that spot? Imagine, like, because we're talking about California here. California is a hot place. It's dry. It doesn't very regularly get cold there. Imagine a big, like, Seven Seas style Epcot fountain above that centerpiece in the middle of Tomorrowland. So, like, it's splashing up, but then over everything, you've got this mist going
Don't
throughout.
Even, like,
but then
I reckon you've also flatten it. Flatten that big sculpture thing and then put a fountain in the bottom and at the middle have, you know the Disney Sea Globe where it's the Earth?
Yeah.
But have that, but the Earth is like slightly different, but then, you know, where it's based, you could have lots more greenery, you can have a lot, you know. It's a futurism because it's looking at what the Earth might look like in 1,000 years. So, you know, the Earth might have shifted the land. So it looks a little bit alien. But at the same time, if you look, you're like, oh, that's, you know, Australia, that's the Earth. But it's all green. You could have like a lighting, you know, LED package in it at night that makes it like where people live and those sort of things. And gives it this feeling. And then, you know, have that fountain around it to give it that kinetics.
I've got an idea. You could even bring sea back into it and have it where it's like they've helped to fix all of the problems. It's like future sea. Oh,
I like that.
It could be sea through the times for those that
and
don't
then Space
know
Mountain
the sea organization.
Yeah, it becomes a sea, Society of Explorers and Adventurers.
Yes.
It becomes, that's a way to give it a slight IP without giving it an IP. And there they could be, you know, Space Mountain. You know, if you want to give it a slight theme, make it, it's about discovering like distant planets. They're looking for more places. The whole idea, remember, of Wall-E was looking for somewhere else that they could inhabit.
Mm.
So that could be that these explorers are looking for somewhere else to inhabit. Then you could just put a few planets around Space Mountain.
Well, if you think about Star Wars is pretty saturated in the Disney parks at the moment.
Get
if you
rid
wanted
of Star
to have
Tours.
Something, yeah, get rid of Star Tours, have it based around the universe of Wall-E, because I think Wall-E has proven the test of time. Even though they haven't done anything on it in a while, people still absolutely adore that movie and the characters within it. And you could have it where it's about like, you know, you start off and it's By and Large and they're like, we're going to be going to lots of different planets so we can find your new home. And then you go through and you go to all of these different planets. It's randomly generated. So you're flying into like from the outside, it looks like this beautiful lush blue planet, but then you fly in, it's all like lava and giant waves and volcanoes and that. And then the end is the story is like, well, it looks like there's nowhere else out there for us. We'll have to go back. And the story is about bringing it back in to be like, this is the one planet. And people
and
are probably out there being like, review time's very green this episode, but we're both pretty.
It's gotta, you gotta,
I was about to say conservative. I'm like, we're the opposite of conservative.
Yeah. You gotta think. I think it's a good way to go. This positive futurism is a good way to, you know, spin a positive message that's also grounded in realism of what kind of needs to be done without going too green. But the good thing, Yeah.
That's the thing about Tomorrowland and Epcot is that those really worked during a time
Tomorrowland?
When everything looked...
Sorry, don't you mean World Discovery, World Nature, and World Celebration?
Or please
what
don't.
What future world
hurts.
Was it? Yeah. I love it how they were like, we've already got a Tomorrowland. What should we call the half of Epcot? Future World. Done.
Tomorrow Sea.
Even at that point, though, they've, you know, had to reinvent actual Tomorrowland three times because of the Tomorrowland problem.
There was an interesting thing, though, and somebody, I think it was the Disney Dish, brought it up. And they were talking about how when Epcot was being constructed, and especially as it started getting through the years and around the 70s and 80s, and I guess early 90s as well, where the future just looked great. Everyone was doing well. There was no war. Well, kind of no war. There were some wars, but like everything was pretty prosperous and it only looked up for humanity. Unfortunately, it's kind of the opposite now. I think a lot of people have this sentiment that things aren't all that great. And it does also create that spot where some people go into a Disney theme park and it's something that Disney have to start thinking about, where it is impossible to escape the real world now. So they created the berm so that you go in there and you can't see out, but now you've got your phones and there's a lot of not super nice stuff happening. And for the older generations, it can be like, cool, that's not my problem, but that is our problem. And so having some more hope-based attractions, I think would really resonate a lot with younger people to have something where it's like, you know, we can turn things around, turn Tomorrowland into a hopeful message, not something like all of our problems will be solved because technology is great, but something where it's like things will be hard, but we will get there.
Yeah, I reckon. Yeah, keep. So this is our we're building our land as we walk around. So we get rid of the Astro-Orbiter. Yeah. We get rid of the
Astro-Orbiter is now a fountain. Star Tours is now a fountain. Buzz
Lightyear Astro Blaster. Astro-Orbiter is not a fountain. No,
everything's a fountain.
Oh, everything's a fountain. It's fountain land.
All land is fountain.
Astro-Orbiter. If they really want to keep it, fine. Put it. You know where that stupid. Put it somewhere else in the land, not at the entrance. I hate it at the entrance. And have your big fountain as the weenie. You'd be able to see that well from the hub, drawing people in. On the left, keep a Lightyear updated version of Buzz Lightyear Astro Blasters. Kids like that. Put some AR in it. On the right, we've got Star Tours. Replace that with a Wall-E simulator ride where they're looking for different planets. That's a good idea.
A hopeful Wall-E message.
Yeah, and it's still got all the fun of Tomorrowland. And they kind of, they ended... Star Tours for a while there with a hopeful message when they were like, you landed on Batu and it was like, this is the start of a whole new adventure. That was hopeful until we opened Galaxy's Edge. So we can have hopeful.
And Disney, listen here. Look, I know I'm about to make you impressed because you're like, oh, a Wall-E, how would we sell merchandise? Well, you've got By and Large. By and Large was basically Amazon. You can sell whatever you want in that shop. Yeah.
You just make it like futuristic, weird stuff and be like, this is a future. You don't know, silly guest. I feel as well, Dom, you can't change one thing in Tomorrowland, my boy.
You got to keep the giant ball, the water ball.
No. That can
the thing
go.
I'm always
I don't
worried
care about
kids going to get their
stupid
hand
thing.
Jammed in.
Yeah. I only care about the tumbling Mickey neon. That's my favorite thing in Disneyland. So keeping the tumbling Mickeys, or if they get rid of it, they have to sell it to me. And I put it up in my house and can
That's
never sleep because it's
Trader,
so
isn't it?
Bright. Yeah.
You could have that, like, keep it there for the By and Large building and have it just wrapped in vines and stuff.
Exactly. And then Space Mountain, just redo it, make it like intergalactic travel, tie back to that theme that doesn't really, you know, they don't really touch on a lot where Space Mountain is meant to be the way that you get to different spaceports. So this is, you know, Starport 75 because it opens in 75, that sort of thing. Bring that theme back a little stronger than it currently is. Do something with that weird... The drone play. Have you ever seen, you know, that weird roof?
Yeah,
outside
this
Space
is where
Mountain?
they used to do concerts.
And like, there's pictures of planes, like model plane shows flying around here, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just normal stuff. Get rid of that. Which, when we talk about this, what do you think they should do with that, the theater? The Tomorrowland Theater, it used to show Captain EO. It used to show Honey, I Shrunk the Audience. It used to show a weird Star Wars 15-minute movie that was every movie in 15 minutes before they released Force Awakens.
Look, I'm pitching this to the Disney execs now because I'm trying to think, like, what would get my project across the line? You got to think, like, Chapek's not thinking about how great of a time guests are going to have. Chapek's thinking about money. And so here you go, Disney execs. Turn that theater into a Space 220. It'd work. They could, like, you get into the elevators. There, but
even you could just get rid of that terrible pizzeria there, and then you'd have space to do it too. If you didn't have space part of, like, just in the theater,
the space station complex, and incorporate it where Space 220 is now part of the space station that you ride Space Mountain from. Mm. And so I seem to remember something where it's like, in Space Mountain, you're technically going to the space station. It's very strange.
And then you land back on the same place. It's meant to be transport. You're meant to go between space stations, but somehow you end up at the same place. And that's why the one at Magic Kingdom has that exit where it's like other places you can visit.
Yeah.
Because of
it's
that.
It's very strange. It's very poorly thought out. And, well, I guess for modern standards, back then it was kind of like, tomorrow stuff. And everyone's like, yay.
Just slap, slap, slap. Yeah.
I think you could change that area to be all a space station.
Yeah. Heck, you could almost get rid of,
though.
Yeah.
Is that Space Mountain as an attraction is quite far away from the walkway. And you do want to make sure that you're not, you know, sort of covering it up because it is kind of hidden.
Yeah. I think you could almost put a new, like, in front of it, you could almost put a newer style Astro Orbiter there in that space, flatten it down a bit, put the Astro Orbiter there, but give it a more classic rocket jet style. And it's almost as if it's being used by the airline terminal as, like, make the ride vehicles almost the same style as the ride vehicles on Space Mountain. It's got the kinetics, it'll draw you over. And you can kind of get rid of that spaghetti junction walkway that is the queue to Space Mountain, where you walk down a really long corridor towards a shuttered restaurant and then take a left and then go up. Like, it's weird.
Here's an interesting idea for attraction. Think of the jetpack style Astro Orbiter that they have at Shanghai. Mm. I haven't experienced this, so I don't know what it has, but I believe that it's flawless. So you just kind of, your feet are dangling.
Your feet dangle, I think.
Now imagine if it's in a space where it's testing out this new jetpack technology and you have this story behind it. So it's all like, all right, gearing up, preparing your jetpack. And each person has a joystick and at various points, your joystick will light up. And then you control the jetpack so you can, like, spin it on an axis.
Kicks
so
out maybe, like the arm, but, like, a bit more speed than kind of just the up down you feel now. You can twist and then it's kind of control. It got a little bit more thrills than the Astro Orbiter.
Even
sort
do
of thing.
Some inversions and that. Like, you could really have some fun with that. It'd also probably make a lot of people very sick.
I think as well, the big, we've kind of left there's an elephant in the room, which is the other side of Tomorrowland, which is at Autopia, the submarine voyage, and the old Carousel of Progress building.
You mean
building.
Soft fantasy land?
Yeah, the secondary fantasy land. From what I've heard, unfortunately, we can never bring back a rotating theater at Launch Bay. Because they they got rid of the mechanism, essentially. Oh. Maybe they could redo it, but it'd probably be the thing where it'd be as cheap to just demolish it than to rebuild it, sort of thing. Which is a shame, because the Carousel Theater, did you ever see there was meant to be a, like, intergalactic version of called Plek 2's Interplanetary Review, which was it was meant to be a Carousel Progress Theater style show, but based in that. And I feel I know Disneyland has the birds. Wow, the Tiki Room, the birds.
The birds
terrifying
room.
Alfred Hitchcock film, The Birds. But I think
it's the
it
Halloween
needs another,
overlay.
Yeah. It needs another sit, chill type of show. And if you can bring it back, we're blue skying it, so you can. Make this some form of interplanetary show. It's a good chance to showcase a lot of these characters. Not necessarily Plectus, but something along those lines. And it gives, you know, it's this big round building in the middle. You now, if you got that big fountain in front, you can put some, you know, stuff on the building to make it that weenie to continue dragging people that way. I'm trying to think of an IP that could work because I know they're going to be wanting that IP for
Guardians
it.
Of the Galaxy, I feel you could do where it's like all of those just absurd species and characters and you could have it mixed in with the different characters.
But please, no Marvel. Yeah, I was trying to avoid Marvel. It's too easy for Tomorrowland if you just go, it's Marvel now. Which they did at Hong Kong Disneyland. Which the Hong Kong Disneyland one, I don't want to come here, but the Iron Man experience is actually decent. I like that.
Yeah.
Apparently the
interesting
the
thing about this
isn't
space
great though.
Is that when you actually look at Space Mountain and up towards Star Wars Launch Bay, there's a huge plot there that pretty much just services Space Mountain. And the scary thing is that you could very easily go through and wipe Space Mountain out, get rid of that, get rid of Star Wars Launch Bay, and have the Tron light cycles, which would then...
Don't say it.
I don't want to say it, but it's got the space for it. You'd then have the actual ride going through the land, so it would bring kinetics back to the area. It would be a one-for-one because you're just getting rid of Space Mountain. The unfortunate thing is, I think that's one of the most realistic options, unless you went north and went for Star Wars Launch Bay and towards Autopia and got rid of that instead.
I think that was the rumor.
Yeah.
North. I don't know if it will happen. I hope it doesn't, because we don't just need a carbon copy of everything. The other option would be whatever they're doing at Tomorrowland in Tokyo. But I don't know if Tokyo, we haven't seen anything that would indicate they have changed their plans where they don't allow Walt Disney Imagineering to use what they do in Tokyo for X amount of years because we've never seen it, right? Nothing's ever come from the Tokyo parks to the stateside parks. Lot's gone the other way, but nothing's ever gone that way, I believe. I'm racking my brain. I can't think of anything, nothing major at least.
No.
So, I know they keep saying, you know, with Princess and the Frog, they would keep trying to be like, oh, Tokyo, you want to go Harvey's in this development plans? So maybe they could have had an agreement like that. But I don't know whether, if that was the case, Disney would have let Oriental Land Company make the big, look at us, decision with D23 coming up this year. But I would like my low budget fix for that building is to bring in some form of carousel theater show again. It like, I feel they're underrated carousel theater. They've still got that ability to entertain. I think Disney's getting rid of too many lengthy attractions for short experiences nowadays. Mm. Everything that gets replaced gets insanely shorter. You know, Great Movie Ride's 25 minutes to Mickey and Minnie's is 4. Same with Guardians of the Galaxy, Cosmic Rewind. All these replacements are shorter. Bring something with scale in. We don't have a ton of time left. And the issue is I don't know how to fix Autopia and Finding Nemo. I think they just need to demolish them both.
So this is the thing that I believe is that with Disneyland's Fantasyland, it's quite small and uneventful. I reckon if they could, and I think from our discussion before, it's not very likely, but I would say if they can, chuck Beauty and the Beast from Tokyo in this spot and then do like a new Fantasyland style area.
Half and half, maybe.
Yeah.
Like, do half.
You've got
get
the
rid
space.
Of the water there. Do half that, you know, Beauty and the Beast can enter sort of across from It's a Small World. So, yep. And then use the southern half of that space to do something for Tomorrowland as well. And I feel that, like, if you just made Tomorrowland end there, then Tomorrowland's going to feel very small. Because then you're essentially making Tomorrowland the size of the original version of Fantasyland, not counting It's a Small World, not counting the Fantasyland Theater. But yeah, if you put something like Beauty and the Beast on that northern part, that's a fun ride. The trackless dark ride, I don't know if we'll get another trackless dark ride at Disneyland. Remember, they are building Runaway Railway at the moment. Or put Pooh's Honey Hunt in. I know that the exclusivity on that attraction doesn't exist. And I know this is a different land, but put Pooh's Honey Hunt in, then you can fully re-theme Critter Country around Princess and the Frog. You can put in, you know, Tiana's Restaurant or something there. Disney likes making that, and you're not really losing anything. Like, you could still do something with that. I don't think people love that Winnie the Pooh ride. It's always like a 5-10 minute wait when I'm there. So
yeah,
I don't think it's a
very weird
spot. If you could have one big anything style attraction to put in that southern part for Tomorrowland, what do you reckon? Like, trying to think, what is it missing? Disneyland is, you know, what's it missing?
You're replacing two very, well, one of them is a very high capacity family attraction that puts people in control. And I think that's why Autopia has good appeal with families, is because it allows teenagers and young kids and all that to drive their own car and do a really good spot. Like, the Disneyland Autopia is good. The sub is a bit of an issue because I know they have problems with load-in and it's not very high capacity. And it's just, I think it's on its last legs, unfortunately. I know it was on its last legs when it first came out.
It's been going through like a huge refurb over the last year or so, which really surprised me because I thought it's a good, it doesn't make sense in the land. It makes sense to make a Finding Nemo submarine voyage, yeah, but it doesn't make sense in Tomorrowland. Which is why when they said they were doing that, I was like, oh, okay. Guess it's surviving for a little longer than I thought. If you want a cool replacement, just chuck in Aquatopia. That adds some nice kinetics, but I think it needs something bigger than Aquatopia.
I would love to see a Wall-E dark ride, a trackless dark ride, because I think you could do a lot with that. You could have spots where, like with the new version of the trackless dark ride that they have at Beauty and the Beast, where it's articulated so the cups can move around. If you have that like a spaceship, imagine at one point if you end up in space and it's sort of floating around and you've got that
Define
atmosphere.
Dancing. Like dancing. You could play that cool
Yeah, you're
music.
Like going through a star field. You could do some really cool effects with that. I think that would be the most logical choice, and then you would have smaller attractions based around it, maybe even chuck in some sort of roller coaster. You could put in a cool single rail as well, just something that's small and easy to get out and get through the land and just have it based around something, I'm not sure. But you've got an opportunity there to turn two attractions into about six.
Yeah, I feel that the things that, like the IPs, in my opinion, that could make something decent here as well. Big Hero 6, you could have a cool Big Hero 6 based dark ride. Not just Baymax's Happy Ride from Tokyo, even though that looks fun. You could have, you know, if you wanted to go back through the archives, which I don't think they will, but, you know, Flight of the Navigator. That cool Flight of the Navigator.
Treasure Planet.
Film. You could just, you know, I feel, embrace a little bit of Shanghai. It's Disneyland in that style. That I feel is more, what's the name? Like here. What you could also do is in this space, you've got a lot of space. You know that it's somewhere, I want to say in France. It's this big green space and it's got these like futuristic bubbles and it's
Futura.
Yeah,
something
is
like
that Futuroscope? I think might be, and then have that as your like facade, and then that style because that's very futuristic. Of course, the number one bring back push the talking trash can.
Yeah,
the only thing 100%. Tomorrowland is missing. But yeah, it's a shame.
Well,
that
actually,
there's
one thing we haven't really thought of, which would be an easy push across if you wanted to take out these two attractions and replace it with something quite dramatic and memorable for this side of the coast, would be Pandora. I think it would fit. Yeah.
Could you even have
something like Flights of Passage, but around a different intellectual property. If you wanted to turn Star Tours into a Wall-E attraction and then turn your Star Wars attraction into basically what Flights of Passage is, so it's now a more personal simulator experience, that could work.
Mm. Well, there was the... We've got the new stuff coming to Fantasy Springs. So rumor is that Fantasy Springs at Tokyo is going to use a new version of the Soar and Ride system that's more individualized for Peter Pan, I believe. So the idea is you'll kind of be sprinkled with pixie dust and you'll be able to fly through Neverland, but it is a more individualized experience. Something like that, but flying around San Francisco with Baymax, that could be a cool...
Yeah.
A cool location and put it inside the bubbles or something, or, you know, and have it as some outreach program at the School of Technology that they have there. Because I think that's kind of future. If Big Hero 6 is set in the future, isn't it? Or it's kind of set in this non-existent combination, obviously, of San Francisco and Tokyo.
It's one of those weird settings, and it's an interesting trope in sci-fi where technology is just taken for granted. It's very similar in Star Wars, where it's like they have all of this crazy technology, but still everyone's like super poor and they don't use technology to solve their problems. They just use it to do cool stuff.
Yeah.
And that's basically what Big Hero 6 exists within, is it's like, you could solve so many problems with that tech, but instead they just do cool and weird stuff with it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's a lot of ideas there. I think in my opinion, the big grasp to Wall-E is a good idea for Tomorrowland. A big grasp to, you know, some form of overarching theme to give it, but not necessarily solely containing the IP representation within that theme. So, you know, having elements of the Wall-E universe, but not just being a completely Wall-E themed Tomorrowland. So, you know, have it more generically, this kind of futuristic based in Wall-E. When they've come back to Earth, they've fixed, in inverted commas, Earth, but then not solely, you know, clamping down on that so much sort of thing. And I feel that is an idea that could work for an infinite amount of time. And, you know, that needs it. The rest of Disneyland nowadays is strong. You know, when you look at the other lands in the park, this is clearly the standout, and not for the right reasons. Like, it just doesn't work anymore.
Both of these lands, both Fantasyland and Tomorrowland, need some love. And there's
Fantasyland somehow gets away with its nostalgia because, you know, the strong parts of Fantasyland are the parts that have been there for 50 plus years.
That's very true.
So, so, you know, that survives just solely off nostalgia alone. Mm. Where Tomorrowland, the oldest attraction in Tomorrowland nowadays is Space Mountain.
Mm.
And other than that, you know, I wouldn't even say people are nostalgic for Space Mountain. They just still like it. Not in the same way people are nostalgic for the Fantasyland rides and that sort of stuff. But yeah, I think that plot of land, split it in half, use half for a new Fantasyland, use half for some big new e-ticket. And that can be the one big new attraction, because everything else we kind of talked about is just an overlay or just a tweak, a fix-up sort of thing. But I think that's, you know, this isn't the greatest, biggest, you know, if we had $10 billion, what would we do? Because I think we'd pretty much flatten it and start again. But I think everything we've said is kind of in a realm of possibility today.
Yeah, it's realistic. So it's an opportunity that they could take on and work with to do something different. But I think that's a perfect opportunity for us to wrap up there. But we'd love to hear what you have to think. And if you have any ideas as well, as we said at the top of the episode, this was an idea that was submitted by a friend of the podcast. So become a friend of the podcast by reaching out to us. I can be found at Review Time Dom on Twitter.
You can reach me at Review Time Luke on Twitter.
And you can reach us both at Time Review. I was about to say at Review Time, but you can't. Not on Twitter. You can find us at Review Time everywhere else, or send us an email, hello@reviewtime.com. We will be back next week.
If you have any other ideas, if you like this series, let us know that you enjoyed it. And what should we fix next? We fixed Tomorrowland. It's done.
Yeah,
you'll see it in 5 years' time at Disneyland. So what should we fix next? Let us know. And what should we do next? We'll be back.
I'm getting a call from Bob Chapek. Oh, we better wrap this up because he's calling me about Tomorrowland. We'll see you all next week.
Bye.
Bye.